Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Libya after Gaddafi. It's no Hollywood movie. Movies in just a moment. But first, the chaos in Libya tells the story of the naivete of Arab Spring thinking. Oil-producing nation minus brutal mad dictator equals tranquil oil-producing pro-Western democracy? Not quite. In fact, there is no nation-building happening in Libya. Quite the opposite.
Libyans right now are operating in survival mode. The biggest issue right now for the everyday Libyan isn't who's in charge. Really, the issue is security and safety, and that somebody is in charge and that things are actually happening, that commodity prices are going down, that they can go to school, that they can go to work.
That's Libyan-American Asia Amri, who bought into the Arab Spring fever and moved back to Libya from Louisville in an interview with the BBC. The only nation-building going on in Libya is being done by ISIS, grabbing territory in attacks that last week killed over 60 people. Has ISIS united the remaining factions in Libya to stop their fighting? For more, we turn to Mary Fitzgerald, a journalist and analyst with a focus on Libya. Mary, welcome.
Thank you, John.
So there's the beginning of, it actually began late last year, there's the beginning of negotiations to try to create a political solution in Libya. How's that going?
Well, those negotiations have been ongoing actually for about a year and a half, as long as that bitter political power struggle that has divided Libya for that time, dividing the country between two rival governments, two rival parliaments. The UN has overseen a dialogue process which culminated last month in the signing of an agreement which it was hoped would lead to the establishment of a government of national unity. That government of national unity is tentatively taking shape, but tellingly it's taking shape in Tunis, not in Libya. That unity government faces enormous challenges, not least the fact that it still lacks support from crucial constituencies back inside Libya, amongst them well-armed militias, but also political factions, and also it lacks support from the up to now recognized parliament.
Is ISIS functioning as an insurgency just producing chaos, or are they trying to grab territory and extend this notion of the caliphate? And if so, do they have any standing to basically be a part of the negotiations with the rest of the factions?
Well, that bitter political power struggle that has been ongoing for the last year and a half has, of course, created opportunity for ISIS. They have carved out a stronghold in the coastal town of Sirte, and they've established a presence in other parts of the country, carrying out a range of attacks. Last week, there was an unprecedented series of attacks by ISIS, including in the oil crescent of Libya against oil infrastructure, but also a truck bombing in the western town of Zlitun, which killed over 60 people. Now, that series of attacks last week, it would be hoped that the enormity of those attacks would actually focus minds in Libya and make Libya's squabbling political factions realize that they have to unite against the threat posed by ISIS. That's certainly the hope amongst the internationals who are trying to midwife this unity government process. But there are no clear indications as yet that that message has sunk in amongst the factions in Libya.
Well, certainly ISIS is demonstrating its reach this week, attacks in Jakarta and the attacks you spoke about in Libya. In terms of the oil wealth in Libya, is there any chance that ISIS will get its hands on that? And if not, is it secure in this government that is outside of the country?
Well, for a range of reasons related to the nature of the oil industry in Libya, it would be very difficult for ISIS to replicate in Libya what it has done in Syria and Iraq when it comes to taking control of oil facilities and tapping into oil revenues. It seems for now that the ISIS strategy in Libya is more to disrupt the oil sector and therefore cut off the revenues to the central government rather than actually take control of the oil infrastructure themselves.
Mary Fitzgerald is a journalist and analyst with a focus on Libya. She spoke with us from Marseille in France. Mary, thanks so much.
Thanks, John. Take care.